بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن والاه. Just to give an overview to Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith, the reason we're covering this collection of 40 hadiths is that broadly, compiling works of 40 hadith was one of the sunnahs of the ulama. The ulama found it useful to gather brief works of hadith, right, that people could memorize easily, right? And Imam Nawawi chose to follow in that example, and he compiled a collection of 40 hadiths. But most of the scholars who compiled 40 hadiths did so topically, right? 40 hadiths on mercy, 40 hadiths on legal rulings, 40 hadiths on worship, 40 hadiths on doing good, right? But Imam Nawawi decided to gather 40 hadiths that would be encompassing principles of Islam, right? Encompassing principles of Islam to really try to capture the reality, spirit, and message of Islam. And he did not actually just compile this on his own, right? Imam Ibn Salah, a great Shafi'i jurist and hadith master, had compiled 27 or 28 hadith that he considered to be comprehensive summaries of Islam. In one of his works, he mentioned them. So Imam Nawawi took those in his work, Al-Athkar. Imam Nawawi added a few hadiths to make them 30. And he mentioned them in a number of other works as well. But he also decided to add to those hadiths to make them into 40 in this work. But actually, there's more than 40 hadiths. Because officially, there's 42 hadiths. Because one reason given, Ibn al-Mulaqqin, one of the commentators said, it's as if Imam Nawawi gathered 40 hadiths, then he wanted to close with an admonition and a reminder of Allah's mercy. So it was 42. But there's at least one, if not two places in the 40, where under one hadith, there's more than one hadith. And we look at that. Like the hadiths on, it appears that there's two hadiths on bid'ah. Do they count as two hadiths or are they one hadith? And that's not a simple question because it goes back to how is a hadith considered different and how it's not. And these hadiths are from what are called Jawami' al-Kalim, the comprehensive speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and distinguishing khasa'is, distinguishing traits, is that he was granted encompassing speech. No one spoke like the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever. Right? He said, "Utitu jawami al-kalim." I was granted encompassing speech. His words were few, but they were bursting with meaning and with wisdom. Right? And examples of that are these hadiths here. Something to read up on is the author, Imam Yahya ibn Sharaf al-Nawawi, who lived only 46 years. As Ibn al-Attar says in his loving introduction to his commentary, he said, you know, our great teacher who lived 40 odd years, right? He was born in the year 630 after the Hijrah, and he died in the year 676 after the Hijrah. So he lived 45 odd years. And his life was a blessed life, right? One of the greatest imams of the second half of Islam was Imam al-Subki. Imam al-Subki headed out from Egypt and he went to Damascus, not for Damascus, but to seek out Imam Nawawi. And he discovered that he died. Right? And on the way to Nawa, when he discovered that Imam Nawawi had returned to his hometown of Nawa, which is on the outskirts, it's one of the outlying towns, not too far from Damascus, actually quite close to the Golan Heights and the Israeli border now. So he headed towards Noah, if you couldn't see him, to visit his grave. And on the way, a person who was with them, who was one of the guides leading one of the camels, was overhearing a conversation that Imam Subki was having with the scholars with him. And the guide said, I heard Yahya bin Sharaf and Nawawi say such and such thing about this issue. Because that guide was from either Nawa or from, he'd attended some dars of Imam Nawawi and he'd heard this issue and what Imam Nawawi had to say about it. So Imam Subki, who was on the camel, asked to get off right away. Right? And it's not easy to get off a camel. It's not a question of just getting off. You have to make the camel kneel. And he asked the man, can you please ride this camel? He said, why? He said, because you're someone who took from a Nawawi. Right? So Imam Subki insisted that that man, that guide, it's a simple profession, right? Have said, you know, someone who's taken from a Nawawi deserves to be honored. Right? And he had him ride on the camel. And he composed some lines of poetry right then and there about Imam An-Nawawi. And Imam An-Nawawi led a truly blessed life. When he was a child, when other children were playing around outside, Imam An-Nawawi would not participate with them. And when people asked that, why aren't you playing with them? He said, Allah didn't create me to play around. And Allah did not create me to play around. Right? And he use his time in really blessed ways. While studying, he used to attend 13 or more classes each day under different teachers, while preparing assiduously for each class better than anyone attending just one or two classes would prepare for. Right? And said in pretty much every subject that he studied, he exceeded his teachers. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Right? And he lived his knowledge. He lived in a city of gardens and fruit, right? Damascus, particularly before its brutalization in modern times and its destruction in the last 2 years, was a city, you know, full of water and greenery, and they used to call it one of the paradises on earth. But Imam Nawawi did not eat any of the fruit of Damascus or its outlying areas. So living in Damascus, he wouldn't eat any of the fruit. Why? Because even though he gave the fatwa that it was permissible to eat that fruit, he felt that there was an element of doubt with respect to the ownership of those orchards from which the fruits came. Right? Because there's some pretty complicated ownership arrangements, so it wasn't very clear who owned it, the landowners or the state or the people working on it, etc. And something of questionable ownership, it caused legal technicalities. So if he was asked for the fatwa, he'd say, of course it's permitted to eat the fruit. That was his fatwa. But his own practice, he wouldn't touch the fruit. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he lived a very simple, humble life, but he authored dozens of works. Every book that he authored is an authority and reference in its science. He authored the most read book in hadith, which is Riyadh al-Salihin, the Gardens of the Righteous. His 40 Nawawi, pretty much every Muslim has it, who's serious about their deen. He wrote the greatest compilation of du'as of the Prophet ﷺ, called Al-Adhkar. The scholars would say, بِعِدْ دَارْ وَاشْتَرِ الْأَذْكَارِ. Sell your house if you must, and buy Al-Adhkar. Similarly, in Shafi'i Fiqh, Imam Nawawi is the reference for fatwa and legal details in the Shafi'i school. The whole Shafi'i school after Imam Nawawi revolves around Imam Nawawi's works. Everything afterwards is either a commentary on his works, or a commentary on the commentaries on his works, or an abridgment of his works. Right? It's unique. And similarly in Hadith, the authoritative commentary on Sahih Muslim is Imam Nawawi's commentary on Sahih Muslim. When you say Sharh Sahih Muslim, you say the commentary on Sahih Muslim, it is understood by anyone of knowledge that what is meant is the commentary of Imam Nawawi, even though many people before and after commented on Sahih Muslim, including luminaries such as Qadi Iyad. So in this class, what are we trying to do with the 40 Nawawi? The first thing is to try to understand the text, right, to appreciate what the Prophet ﷺ is saying, and to take, you know, from the various commentaries on the work, that which will give us understanding of the key terms and concepts in the text, right? And some of the key life lessons that we can gain from that. If you're a serious seeker, you would do well to try to memorize these 40 hadith. A simple tip that, you know, would facilitate doing so: give yourself time to memorize hadith number 2. Everything else is pretty simple. Hadith number 2, the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, is very lengthy, right? So don't, you know, just, you know, give yourself, let's say, 2 months to memorize hadith Jibreel. Everything else, memorize it class by class, and you'll do fine. And inshallah, you know, we're transmitting, you know, this text, you know, for the 40 Nawawi through study with Sheikh Muhammad Qailish of Aleppo, who took this and other works from Sheikh Abdullah Sirajuddin and other great scholars, past and living. And we also transmit it from the former head of the Council of Scholars of Mosul, Sheikh Akram Abdul Wahhab, who's the author of a 1,000-line poem in his chains of transmission back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a 15-volume commentary on that, and from a number of others. And if you memorize the 40 Nawawi, and can read them back soundly, inshallah, we can give you permission to transmit it as well. How do you prepare for this class? Right. The first thing is kind of simple, right? Read the hadith. Don't show up, "Oh, today's hadith is about mercy," right? Like, read it. If you can, write it out. It's good Arabic practice too, right? الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ, the one who taught by the pen. Try to memorize it. It's a good aspiration, right? Even if you never memorized anything before, and this is comprehensive guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? If you can read the commentary, you'll find benefit. We'll mention what some commentaries are that you can touch upon. And also reflect yourself on the lessons of the hadiths. Right? Reflect, what is this hadith telling me? Right? What is should my response be hearing these words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And prepare questions for the class. And do the related reading in the way we described beforehand. So what are some recommended texts? If you know Arabic, a beautiful, brief commentary on it is a commentary that's often misrepresented as being Imam Nawawi's commentary on the 40 Nawawi. According to his student, Ibn al-Attar, who's one of his closest students, Imam Nawawi never wrote a commentary on the 40 Nawawi. The commentary that is often referred to as Imam Nawawi's commentary is actually by Ibn al-Attar, his direct student. In English, there's a translation of Ibn Rajab's very comprehensive work, Compendium of Knowledge and Wisdom. And that's a wonderful, wonderful work. He called it Jami'ul Ulumi wal Hikam, the compendium of knowledges and wisdom. And it's a beautiful work. Firdaus Books has it. There's only a couple of copies here. So if I were you, I'd be running to pick it up before others. And it's a wonderful work. Those of you who are proficient in Arabic or want to read something more in depth, one of arguably the greatest commentary, especially if you're legally inclined rather than hadith inclined, is Ibn Hajar's commentary, Ibn Hajar al-Haytami, the great imam of the late Shafi'i school. He wrote a commentary on the 40 Nawawi, and we've provided that on the course page as well. But it's more detailed than Ibn al-Attar's commentary and more terse, but it's brilliant. And Ibn Hajar al-Haytami was really a blessed scholar. He was the authority of the Shafi'i school in his time. But he migrated from Egypt to Mecca. He's also known as Ibn Hajar al-Makki. And he lived a very simple life. And he had his wife was a very pious woman, but then she became jealous because once a whole company of scholars came from Egypt, right, for the pilgrimage, and they came with servants and camels and a whole caravan, and they had feasts and so on, and Ibn Hajar and his family lived like really simply. And she said, "You know, why don't you at least do something to get some wealth by your knowledge?" So his, Ibn Hajar called her. They had a well in the back of their house, or near their house. He took a bucket, and he made dua, and he took the bucket out, and it was full of gold. Okay, and he poured it back in. So this is not what we seek, okay? Because that's not what one seeks in life. But again, Ibn Hajar al-Haytami was a, you know, truly blessed scholar of Islam. He wrote the greatest commentaries on Imam Nawawi's works in Shafi'i fiqh. Alhamdulillah. So those are some recommended texts. You can find them linked to in the course page. So do, before you leave, do leave your name on the list that there's there on the front. Bidnillahi ta'ala. And we'll be putting up these slides. These are actually already up there, but also for the upcoming classes, they'll be there beforehand. So if you want to print the lesson handouts when you come to class, then you can do so. Next class, we'll be looking at Imam Nawawi's introduction to his Arba'in, which is a brilliant introduction. Like, read it carefully, because there's a lot of lessons in it. So that was the overview. Sorry for the length of today's class. Normally we'll be finishing, inshallah, punctually at 9:30. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما.